Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson. I'm a homeschool father of five, coming to you from my basement out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado, just trying to salvage some faith, family, and freedom in the 21st century for my children and my grandchildren. We know that faith and family, freedom, are all disappearing in most of the developed nations around the world, if not all of the developed nations around the world. And there are a few courageous, faith-filled people here and there who are fighting for every little piece of freedom and family integrity and faith that they can manage to maintain in the midst of a secularized, existentialistic, humanistic society that is all about me, 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 and the state. It's existentialistic and socialistic at the same time. It's about me and me and me, but also about statism, statism, and statism. Family and church pretty much decimated. The institutions of family and church pretty much decimated in our present society today. But friends, you're going to hear a wonderful interview in just a moment. One of the most informative, unique, outstanding interviews I think I've ever conducted on the radio program. It's about Sweden and what's happening with the nation of Sweden. Sweden is destroying its society. The leadership there has put the gun to the head of the family and pulled the trigger. It's killing its own civilization. They have destroyed the family, and they're about 30% worse than America when it comes to the illegitimacy rate and a few other things. They're about 10 years ahead of us as far as their destructive patterns are concerned. We've got a huge birth implosion out there as well. They've lost the character of a nation. They've destroyed the discipleship of sons. Fatherhood obviously doesn't exist anymore in Sweden. They are working to obliterate gender differences entirely. They even have gender-neutral schools now where the boys and the girls, the X's and the Y chromosomes or whatever they are, they go to the same bathrooms, they play with the same toys, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They're working to destroy the family and to create an experiment in socialism. An experiment in obliterating God's socioeconomic system, and we'll see how it goes in the next 20 to 30 years. Friends, things are not looking good for that nation right now. They have virtually outlawed homeschooling in the very last few remnants of any healthy family life whatsoever in that nation. They have done everything they can possibly do to destroy even the tiniest remnants of nuclear family life. Anywhere in Sweden, the gendarmes have worked very, very hard to exterminate every single little piece of light in that nation, except for about 20, 30, 40 families. There's just a few left out of 10 million people. I'm telling you, there's out of 10 million people, there's like 20 or 30 families left. That's right, my friends. Now, remember, the same thing has happened to just about every developed nation around the world. It's just that Sweden is ahead of us. There are a few pro-family movements going on, the strongest of which are here in America. Also, Canada, Mexico, England, Australia still have healthy remnants as well. But Sweden is among the very, 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 very worst nations in the world for the integrity of the nuclear family. So they are leading the experiment. Again, 10 to 15 years ahead of the rest of us. And they have this tiny, tiny little remnant who still want to fight for something of value for future generations, family and faith and freedom. And in a moment, Jonas Himmelstrand is going to be with me. He's the leader of the homeschooling movement in Sweden. He's in exile, as I've said already on this program before. The leader is in exile. He's speaking to us from a tiny island off the coast of Sweden, and he's on the phone with us next on Generation. A brave man, a courageous man who's still hanging in there, fighting for the life of future civilizations. Jonas Himmelstrand next on Generations.
Hey, church leaders, are the parents in your church doing the basics in the home? I'm not talking about changing their children's diapers and feeding them three square meals a day. I'm talking about the basics, the Word of God. I'm talking about the book of Proverbs. If this is God's curriculum for kids, if this is God's book for providing knowledge, wisdom, and understanding to a young man or a young woman, then the parents in your churches need to be inculcating these lessons into their children. That's why I produced a 3-volume family Bible study series on the book of Proverbs, specifically for parents who, by the way, are the God-appointed teachers according to the book of Proverbs. All right, pastors, elders, leaders, I'd like to encourage you to take this challenge. Instead of purchasing Sunday school materials this year, as most churches do, why not distribute our family Bible study guides on Proverbs to every family in your church? We'll be happy to provide you with bulk prices at generationswithvision.com. Churches all over America are providing family Bible study guides to their families as a means of encouraging families to this vitally important responsibility. Contact us through generationswithvision.com for bulk prices or order your copy today at generationswithvision.com.
Welcome back, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson, and today we want to get back into the home education subject. And with me to talk about this is Jonas Himmelstrand. We're going to Sweden to discuss what's going on with Swedish home education. As we've said several times on this program before, homeschooling is not equally free around the world. It is against the law in some areas here and there, and it's become increasingly difficult to homeschool in Sweden. And with me again is Jonas Himmelstrand, who has been working with a homeschool association in Sweden called Rohus, and he is now with me on the Generations broadcast by phone. Jonas, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure.
Jonas, how did you get started homeschooling, first of all? You're a homeschooling father yourself. How did it start for you?
Well, it started by we had our son, oldest son, who had some learning difficulties, and we used an American method, and basically they recommended homeschooling. Mm. And that's how we got started with it. I had an American colleague who also recommended it and said he would have done it for his own children if they were smaller. Mm. And I don't think we actually believed much in it, but in doing this, we kind of saw with time the tremendous advantages in the peacefulness, in the social adaptation, and self-confidence, and generally well-functioning that we were, I think both me and my wife were quite taken by how well it worked, because we never actually believed that.
How long?
So then it's kind of become family culture, and now all our children are homeschooled.
How long have you been doing this?
Oh, we have been doing this since for 12 years.
12 years. Okay. How old is the movement in Sweden? Do you know anybody who's been homeschooling and has moved their children all the way through high school?
Oh, yes, there are those. You can say there are kind of two movements in Sweden. There was one that was active in the 90s with a small organization, and some of those children have now gone all the way through high school, and there are those who are studying at university, often through U.S.-American distance schools to get a high school diploma. Mm-hmm. Then that organization died out, and basically Swedish homeschoolers thought the best way to do it was to play safe and not tell anyone how successful this was, and maybe no one would notice. And in 2008, though, this was not noticed. Mm-hmm. This did not work, and our Minister of Education saw this, and he decided he wanted to basically forbid homeschooling for religious or philosophical reasons. Mm. And then instantly Rohus was formed. So Rohus was formed in May 2008. Mm-hmm. And since then we've been working very hard against the opposition that's increasing.
Do you have any idea how many people homeschool in Sweden?
Well, there's an estimate which seems to be supported. There's no official statistics, but throughout the year, it seems like 100 children is about the number being homeschooled in Sweden. And this is in a country with a population approaching 10 million at the moment.
Oh boy.
So it's an extremely small number if you compare to the U.S.
Mm-hmm. What does that say about Sweden?
Well, Sweden has a very family culture, which is very different. Basically, Sweden is run by the idea that the state fosters and teaches better than parents. And the Swedish culture and politics, I should add, strongly encourages parents to leave their children to daycare 1 year of age. And 92% of our children 18 months to 5 years old are in daycare. And at school, they are encouraged to leave the children in preschool care, and then school, and then after school care. And basically, pedagogically, this is said to be the best for the children. Results, though, don't show that. So we have results showing that Sweden has a very bad development in school results in the PISA studies, we're going down very strongly. Mm-hmm. Also in psychological health, we're going down. So we've got all the indications of this, and still this is something which our government does not yet really acknowledge. But I think you could say, maybe it might be too strong a word, but a kind of a family-phobic culture where parents are not trusted to take care of their children, and where there's a sense that the state must guarantee children's safety kind of against the parents.
Well, it's the socialist ideology that the family is not all that important. Jean-Jacques Rousseau, the father of modern education, of course, wrote the book Emile, but he was known for leaving his five children on the steps of an orphanage and believed that professionals ought to take over from there. And, of course, state-funded education came out of the late 1700s and 1800s in Prussia and Germany. And then the rest is history. Now we have a massive, massive increase in socialist control over every aspect of life, but particularly education. And I think that's really the juggernaut of all of socialism is you've got to get the children early on, don't you?
Yes. And I think, I mean, what you can see in Sweden is like it isn't really producing the results that they want because mm-hmm. we have, you know, even official Swedish studies show that the psychological health, you know, self-reported psychological health is really decreasing very strong. It's tripled in girls in 20 years since the 80s to the 2000s. Mm. And one doesn't want to see an explanation of this, although if you talk to any developmental psychologist outside Sweden, they will basically say, well, it's obvious, you know, you've taken the children away from the parents.
Mm-hmm.
And this is kind of like the homeschooling, the restrictions on homeschooling is just simply the top of an iceberg on a culture which does not recognize the power of parents and the ability of parents and the importance of parents in raising and educating children.
Well, Sweden is certainly at the forefront of this modern experiment towards eliminating the family. America has certainly seen a lot of this. 42% of children are born without fathers now, up from 6% in 1960. And I know the same thing's happening in Sweden. The illegitimacy rate is very, very high there. And as you know, marriage and family and all these other things are not really considered that important for the Swedish sociological experiment. We'll see how everything turns out, though. I mean, after one or two generations of this experiment, you know, you wonder how things are going to turn out for Sweden, and you think that things may go badly, don't you?
Well, I think, you know, we're going very fast in Sweden. You know, in a negative direction. Uh-huh. And one can question how many generations does it take?
Yeah.
And, you know, we've had about two generations of this now. You can see that there are also studies showing that the quality of parenthood is decreasing sharply in Sweden. And today's parents, many of them don't know what the children need. They cannot set limits. They cannot handle the children. They believe that daycare and school have the experts about it. And, of course, you know that you know, parenthood is very strongly goes to the next generation. So we're actually having a generation now being raised by parents who were raised basically in daycare. And I think, you know, we're either going towards a social collapse or we're going to a form of a police state, I mean, a modern police state, where things have to be very regulated to handle a population with less and less social abilities.
I think
that's my guess, but something in that direction. We've seen even in just the last 6 months how the discussion is increasing in Sweden about that you want to have a very strong gender focus on the preschools, where they want to take away the words he and she and basically try to protect the children from knowing which sex they are in order to raise them more equal. Now, this may sound preposterous in the U.S., but this is what's being discussed in our media today. We have a politician who wants to make not going to school something that could lead to direct custody taking of the social authorities, including homeschool children. So we've got a very strong movement. There's no mistake in this development. It's actually a movement that you see in many directions moving very fast, in spite of the fact that we have a conservative government in Sweden.
Jonas, and you feel very deeply that you are doing what you can to salvage your family, to salvage family relationships in your family, and have something of a social structure for your children and grandchildren in the years to come. And you're up against all of the powers of the state that oppose you, that want to destroy what you're all about and want to destroy civilization and social systems. And you feel like you're very much in the minority, don't you?
Excuse me?
You feel like you're very much in the minority, don't you?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's a strong minority, though. I mean, those who agree with me in Sweden know each other very well, and we're quite well-versed, and we're well-argued, and we've got contact with one another. But, of course, out in general in society, and not the least in media, we feel extremely lonely. You just feel lonely if you're at home with your two-year-old in Sweden. You feel lonely and something different from the rest of society.
Now you are now not in Sweden proper. You have had to move away from Sweden. Where are you right now?
Right now we live on the Åland Islands, which is a self-governing province of Finland, which is fully Swedish-speaking, in the Baltic Sea, just between the capitals of Sweden and Finland. And this is governed by Finnish law and the Finnish constitution, which basically gives similar rights as most democratic countries do. It says that educating your children is the parents' responsibility. Sweden says it's the state's responsibility. Here in Finland, there is a learning obligation. In Sweden, there is a school obligation. So it's very different, and it's a strange experience, you must know, to be in a place where Swedish is spoken, but where the family culture is so very different.
Isn't that something? So the family situation is much better there than Sweden.
Absolutely. I mean, it's not even being talked about. But when you come from Sweden here, you realize it in every talk that family has a whole other respect here, and all the homeschooling is not common at all. They just look at the law and says, "Well, you know, it's allowed. There's nothing we can do about it." There's even the critics here. And that's because it's guarded in the Finnish constitution. And, you know, Sweden has never had that kind of support for homeschooling.
Now, you are effectively in exile. How did that come about? Did you feel you had to move? It was something your family had to do just for the sake of freedom?
We've hung out for a long time, you must know. For 3 years, we've been formally illegally homeschooling in Sweden. And we fought in the courts, and we fought with letters, and we fought in many different ways. But then when the social authorities get involved in Sweden, plus added to that fines that they were threatening with in the vicinity of $25,000 for one child homeschooling 1 year, and we were obviously being used, me being the president of the Swedish homeschoolers, it just got to the point where we realized this is not really safe anymore. And I asked directly the social services personnel, and they said to me, "We cannot guarantee your safety. If you want to be safe in homeschool, you should leave the country."
So how long have you been there now?
That's 3 months ago.
And so how do you make
3 months here where we kind of tried in different ways to make sure that we could stay. And in the end, we saw that it's not going to work. And we do not know what the next step of the authorities is going to be. And of course, you may know about Dominic Johansson, who is the infamous case where Swedish authorities took custody of a 7-year-old boy on his way back to his mother homeland, India. And of course this is terror for all Swedish home educators, and it shows that our authorities are ready to do this. And with the incredible fine they wanted from us, we realized, together with a whole lot of other things, that it was true what the information we got from the Swedish social services, that you're not safe here.
So how many are leaving the country at this point? Do you know of any others?
Well, I told you before we expected to be about 100 homeschooled children in Sweden.
Yes.
And that was before the last year. So I know about at least 25 children who've left in just the last year. And that's, you know, a quarter of the homeschooling population. There are some who are still fighting it out in the courts who haven't gotten the social authorities on them yet, but basically when the social authorities start getting involved, many people leave. Even if they don't maybe feel a super danger, it's still so incredibly humiliating process to be brought through by the Swedish social authorities that one just does not want to do it anymore. It breaks down the family to be questioned to the level that you will be questioned.
I think basically,
you know, there's a quarter of the homeschooling population, that's a lot.
Yes, it is.
Just here where in the Åland Islands, there's been moving in at least 20 children and their families during the last year.
What do families do when they move? Do they have to reestablish themselves in terms of their employment, their income? How do you handle things?
Well, here you see we have the benefit of Nordic collaboration. So moving within the Nordic countries is extremely easy.
Okay.
There's no requirement for having work permit or anything like that. Yeah. There's no passport, nothing. You just basically move country, go to the authorities and say, we want to live here. Yeah. And if you're a Nordic citizen, you can do this within the Nordic countries, even easier than between the EU. It just so happens that in this particular case, when it comes to homeschooling is allowed in Finland, Norway, and Denmark, but not in Sweden. So there's an exceptional difference here, but in all other aspects, it's very similar, and therefore one can move freely in between. So that's not a problem.
I'm sure you have a desire to see your homeland, Sweden, turned in the right direction. And to think that there's only hundreds or so children out of 10 million that have some hope for a halfway decent reintegrated family experience, you would want to, be a little bit of an evangelist for this, but it's hard to be so when you're so marginalized. I mean, how do you get the message out and say, we need to have a little more freedom for the family to operate. We need families to be healthy and strong and free if society is going to continue in the generations to come. How do you get a message like that out?
Well, there are many working with this in different ways. I mean, many is a relative number, not that many, but there are still people working at this, both at the level of making it possible, financially possible, to get home with smaller children and to make homeschooling possible. And one member of parliament told me once informally that, it has some effect to argue in Sweden, but what really has an effect is when other countries start asking about Sweden. So we've understood that the international pressure on Sweden on these questions is probably the most powerful, and that's what we're trying to inform
yes.
this, and I've traveled extensively last year and talked about Swedish family policies in general, and it's important for people in other countries to understand that this Swedish perfect model that is often presented, it's just not hold true. Its results are being held up by forcing people to do things that they might not like to do, and that's just not in democratic tradition.
And
so I think what we're trying to do is we are certainly doing lobbying on the parliament level in Sweden. We have done so for several years, and the Minister of Education absolutely knows about Rohus and about me and about all of us and what is happening. And I think maybe just we're in a situation where it has to get a bit worse before it's going to get better. But international pressure is important on the Swedish government here.
Now, Jonas, those of us here in America who homeschool, many of us have a Christian background. Many of us want to take a biblical worldview to this. We point out that the Judeo-Christian worldview from the beginning has always placed the jurisdictional authority of raising children and educating children in the laps of parents. We point to Deuteronomy 6:7 in the Old Hebrew Bible. We also point to Ephesians 6:4, the book of Proverbs, other places. Wherever children are mentioned, wherever the education and discipleship of children are mentioned in the Bible, almost without exception, in the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of cases, it is always parents that God wants involved in the education and discipleship of those children. And so we press that point home all the time. We do get some opposition from Christian churches. We do from time to time. But we like to go back to the Bible and say, the Bible has some good things, some truth, some solid truth to bear on this issue of the education of children. Is there any support whatsoever from the Lutheran churches, from the Baptist churches, from the Charismatic churches, from any of the Christian churches in Sweden?
Well, first of all, you have to understand that Sweden is an extremely secular country.
Mm-hmm.
This is a country where you're being, seen as strange if you just use the word God. It's extremely secular, and Swedish homeschooling is also extremely secular. Very few homeschoolers for Christian or religious reasons. Mm-hmm. Most Swedish homeschoolers are just for pure secular reasons. There might be people who are Christians, but the reasons are for secular reasons. Mm-hmm. No, actually, the Swedish Christian movement is quite weak on defending homeschooling, and it's quite weak daring to take these stands itself. The only party who has kind of offered some little support are the Christian Democrats, but they did vote for the new law, making it more restrictive. There's been one or two more evangelist churches who have given some support to it, mm-hmm. but basically it is rather quiet from that direction.
I
think that's maybe mostly a mirror of extreme secularization in Sweden, and where many of the churches are just simply fighting to survive on their own mm-hmm. in this very secular society. Yes. And therefore taking a stand on homeschooling is just one more thing that would weigh down on them. I think that's the reason. It's like it's not only family, it's also a very, very secular country. Mm-hmm.
Well, let's look at the future for a moment. Do you have some hope for the future, Jonas? Obviously, you know, you have your children. You're conveying a worldview to your children, a social view to your children. And so the hope has got to be in future generations, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why the fact that we are now living outside Sweden is not going to lessen the work we do for this in any way. Rather, we are kind of like empowered now because we feel our families are safe.
Mm. And I think you bear a tremendous testimony to the whole world. I have encouraged those who listen to this program concerning your exile. I call it the exile of Jonas Himmelstrand from Sweden. And I think that bears an amazing testimony. People say, well, now here's a man who's leading and he's willing to go to the umpteenth degree to fight for freedom and to retain the right to homeschool and to reintegrate his children into the nuclear family one more time. This is a tremendous testimony. I think a minority, a small minority that's principled, that's courageous, that's willing to take a stand really does bear an amazing influence on a lot of people, entire nations even, and I think you can take courage in that.
Well, thank you very much for your encouragement, and I mean, I think always in history there have been people who've had to carry a future vision, and it seems like, at least in Europe, the fight for human rights in our time is a fight for the right to homeschool, mm-hmm. and a larger question about parental rights in raising their children. And that's just simply a modern fight for democracy and for human rights that we're having today, at least in Europe.
Jonas, as we wrap this thing up, how can we help you from America? Is there something that we can do for you, for the Swedish homeschoolers?
Well, what we've said, which seems to be very effective, is writing to the Swedish embassy in the United States. And writing a polite, nicely versed mail to them or letter to them saying that you are shocked over the situation and basically, you know, your positive experience of home education in the U.S.
Wonderful.
Because the American embassy, they can then send this off to the government in a way which will be interpreted by the situation in the U.S. That seems to be a good thing.
Ladies and gentlemen, an amazing story of a man who is standing virtually alone against millions and millions and the powers of institutional forces that are just incredible. But this, my friends, is a testimony to what one person can do for the cause of freedom. And we want to give you all the encouragement we can today, Jonas. Thank you for all you are doing.
Thank you very much.
If you ever need more encouragement, just call us and we'll give you as much as we can give you.
Thank you very much. It's very nice to hear. Thank you for being on the show.
What an amazing story, my friends. I'm not sure I've ever talked to somebody who was a 1 in 10 million standing up against such formidable tyranny. And here I am, a part of a movement in the state of Colorado, 40,000. I think we have somewhere around 40,000 in Colorado amongst 4 million. 40,000 amongst 4 million. This guy's 1 out of 100 out of 10 million. 10 million! And of course, he is up against the incredible tyranny of the socialist state at its very, very worst expression. Well, ladies and gentlemen, pray for this guy. Pray that God would continue to strengthen him and that he would lead him by his word and that he would be able to stand for freedom and hopefully also for the cause of Christ in a secularist society. You heard what he said. It's secularist to the core. And the churches aren't doing a whole lot about that. Well, my friends, there's still hope. There's always hope. Wherever there is the gospel of Christ, there is hope. And we want to continue to pray. And hopefully also let's encourage and influence the Swedish embassy in Washington, D.C. on these matters. You can interact with this radio program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. You can also hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.